Hi, this is Johnny Moore of johnnymoore.com, and this is a podcast interview I carried out with James Chirkoff of collaboratemarketing.com. We talked to John Witchell and Chris Larson of Prosper in April 2006, and this is a recording of our Skype conversation. It starts with John and Chris introducing themselves, and I hope you enjoy it.
So my name is John Witchell. I'm the CTO and co-founder of Prosper here with Chris Larson. And I am also the lead architect of the system. So basically, with the help of a lot of really smart people around here, I'm one of the people who built this thing.
Great, thank you.
My name is Chris Larson. I'm the CEO and the other co-founder of Prosper. And unlike John, I'm mostly just overhead. But happy to be here.
John, Chris, how would you encapsulate what it is that Prosper does?
Yeah, so Prosper is a people-to-people lending marketplace, and we think it's intuitive for anyone that's used, for example, eBay. Of course, the main difference being where eBay is about buying and selling goods and services. This is about people really lending and borrowing from other people. And we think this provides both a new asset class, a new opportunity for people with money to earn a better return than they otherwise would on, let's say, their bank or their CD, and allows borrowers an opportunity to get lower rates than they ordinarily would on their outstanding credit cards or personal loans. And then importantly, very important for the way the model works, it's different from an eBay. We're providing not just a marketplace for borrowers and lenders to connect, but also providing all of the administrative, duties and processes to make sure that after people are matched, that we'll handle all of the details around repayments, collections, reporting to the credit bureaus, so that borrower and lender never have to be involved in that and necessarily don't really even have to know each other.
What's your experience been to date? I think you launched, what, a couple of months ago? How's it been going?
Yeah, we're really pleased with the way it's going so far. So, the company had been in development for about 2 years, and then in November we launched our friends and family period where we kept the site protected, but we had invited, about 350 sort of close friends and outsiders to use the system. And then we were pleased with the way that went. So February 6th of this year is when we launched it to the public. So it's been about 2 months. And so far, so good. It's kind of exceeded where we thought it would be at this point. And the community seems to be very active. And that's really the key thing of what we're trying to do here. So so far, so good.
And one of the things we noticed about Prosper that was different from Zopa, which is the nearest UK equivalent of what you're doing, is that you're quite deliberately trying to set up affinity groups among your users where your customers, as it were, gather together to set up credit accounts. How's that working out?
Yeah, I think that's working out so far pretty well. We've actually we've managed to bring on quite a few groups, and there's been a lot of enthusiasm around the groups. There's been a lot of interest in the groups. People are who've taken the time to create a group are then turning around and taking Prosper to the community level and doing a much more genuine, honest outreach into the local communities than I think might be possible using if there were other means of communicating at that retail level. So certainly the early indications are that it's been very positive, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback both from members of groups as well as the group leaders themselves.
Yeah, and this is Chris, just to add to that, the purpose of the groups, which we think is very core to the strategy and to what Prosper is doing, is really to kind of create a grassroots effect. So groups and group leaders play two vital roles, and which are particularly important in the credit world. One, they really serve as our acquisition tool. So we would rather have group leaders in their own communities acquiring people that they know, people that they have connected with, whether that be over the internet or in other informal, you know, gatherings, and we think that's a much more economical way than sort of the traditional methods of having expensive television ads or trying to go head-to-head with the traditional credit companies. So that would be more efficient for us. And then, of course, it also plays a vital role in probably the most important expense and sort of the trickiest area in credit, which is all around defaults. So that's why we do have borrowers form groups, is to really capture that sense of reputation, shame, if you will, but really community glue that we think is not only important for people feeling to be a part of something, but actually makes them be more concerned than just themselves and actually want to be concerned with the reputation of their group, which we think in credit equals lower defaults over time. So it's that dual functionality of groups is really, really core to our strategy, probably as important as the diversification strategy for our lenders, which we can talk about as well.
Yeah, I mean that's certainly something that really struck me as very interesting as we look at developments for Web 2.0. It feels like a real innovation in financial services, which has traditionally relied on very kind of rigid and very conventional credit scoring methods to assure the quality of the people it's lending to. It seems like what you're trying to do is create something that actually creates more security and isn't based on just evaluating people as individuals, but sort of takes account of them as members of a society, as sort of functioning members of society.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. So we do, of course, still credit grade people. We ID check them. We use all the state-of-the-art fraud checking that you would expect in the credit industry, and that's important. But in a sense, we do believe in sort of a collective accountability as well. And so if we can kind of layer on the group shame, reputation, power on top of sort of traditional ways of measuring people, which are pretty straightforward these days given technology and the availability of credit scoring here, particularly here in the U.S., that will kind of create an additional sort of security or, you know, kind of reputational collateral, if you will, which we understand will vary from group to group. I mean, frankly, we think, and we want to be pretty open about how groups start. Some groups are going to be very effective, they're going to be very tight. Maybe a group of friends, for example, maybe a group within an ethnic community that's very strong. And we understand some groups will probably be not so tight. And we think over time the marketplace will, we trust that the marketplace will do a good job in sort of growing the good groups that have strong reputations. More money will flow there at lower rates. And marginalizing the groups that really don't add anything to the traditional credit scoring. So, that's really what we're trying to grow here, and obviously this is the early days, but early indications, we like what we're seeing.
Is the social side of Prosper something, is that important, or is it really all about money? You were just talking about groups of friends there.
I think that, this is John here, I think that's a good, definitely a good question when we talk about, P2P, ideas on the internet today, a lot of them really have an entertainment component, and we see that all over the internet, whether it's social bookmarking, sites like Dig and some of the other rating systems. In the end, it's a very loose affiliation, and because ultimately, if it's fun and people are enjoying it, they'll continue to use it, and if it stops becoming fun, they stop using it. I think that Prosper is fundamentally different in a couple of important ways in that we're one of the first, Web 2.0 or social sites where there's an economic consequence of those bonds between individuals. It's not just are we all having fun here, it's that collectively our reputation matters, and it matters economically, because in the end, one way to judge people is to judge them by who they associate themselves with. And so if you find a group of people who are all regular, make their timely payments, taken loans, and have behaved responsibly, when a new person comes into that group, it's not an unreasonable assumption to conclude that they are also likely to behave in some ways similar to their peers and their colleagues and their social community. I think that's particularly compounded by the fact that the consequences of one individual will, in fact, impact the larger group. And I think we all know that when our own actions impact other people around us, we tend to behave more responsibly and with a higher degree of vigilance.
There's a sort of greater transparency, I think, that your model brings to this area. Because up until now, most conventional lending has kind of stripped all the personality out of it. One of the things that interested me talking to Zopa was that they were starting to develop the capacity for example, for people who've borrowed money to actually send some kind of message to the individuals that have lent it to them. And they say that the people lending money into the system are quite gratified by finding out who it is that they've lent to and what sort of things they've made it possible for those people to do. So they've kind of stripped out some of the anonymity, made it a more social process, made it more engaging, and I think at the same time, and looking at what you're doing, at the same time actually increasing the security as a result of that. So it seems like a real, potentially a real win-win for all concerned, that you're in some ways, although you're a very high-tech operation, I guess, you're actually making the process more human, more high-touch.
Yeah, this is Chris. So it's exactly right. We think transparency is an openness. I mean, that is really the key fundamental, I think, change up in so many of the models that are now emerging, whether it be, we call it Web 2.0 or sort of the long tail. And that really speaks to now the power of, you know, millions of people being able to see something, make decisions collectively. And I think, you know, the faith that we would have is that that kind of openness and, you know, kind of millions of geniuses looking at it instead of the small genius, you know, group of geniuses in the room that are controlled by some big institution that nobody can ever see, nobody can ever get access to, and nobody can ever compete with their resources. We think that's a better thing for society, and it's a better thing in particularly in credit systems. So we think showing the listings, you know, showing the credit grades of each person, allowing people to write their stories, for example, and really showing, kind of increasingly enough data, again, where kind of a collective can pool together to decide, you know, what's good, most people are good, and what's bad and what should be, kind of rejected or not bid on. Ultimately, that should create both more efficient markets that drive better returns. After all, that's what, you know, that's a fundamental that we have to be providing better returns at the end of the day, but that will also, if we can, you know, continue to nail that, be socially more rewarding as well. And we kind of already sense that from people bidding on listings, that there, it's not just about, hey, can I make 200 basis points over my risk-free rate. Certainly, you know, that's a, those considerations are certainly there, and, you know, can I diversify a portfolio of 200 small pieces? We embrace that. We want to help people do that, and that's what, you know, motivates clearly our bidders and our lenders. But I think there is also a fundamental fascination with, once people start actually making decisions on people, and we've really seen that in the communities, and I think we want to celebrate that. We think that's a very powerful force, because that all speaks ultimately to responsibility. It speaks to everybody now, you know, having a stake in how things perform, as well as, you know, how does money get allocated to the right parts of society and to places, this is where groups become important, places that I care about and have an affinity for while I'm making a good return based on this collective decision making.
Would it be generally true to say that the more open people are, the less of a risk they will be considered to be?
I think that answer is true at all levels. I think that answer is true in a very abstract philosophical level, as well as down to a very basic tactical single listing level. At a philosophical level, yes, you know, sunlight is the best disinfectant. Visibility is the greatest strength. Transparency is ultimately what creates trust, and we see that at a nation level. We see that at a state and community and all the way down to a local level. If we have visibility into the people that we're engaged with in our ordinary lives, then that gives us trust and that gives us confidence, not just in the near term, but in the long term, and not just in a single transaction level, but also at a larger level, at a societal level. Down at a single listing, when you're trying to actually decide whether or not I'm going to put $50 into a listing, that is also true. I want to hear not only what your credit grade is and whether or not you have a reasonable debt-to-income ratio, but I'd also like to know a little bit about you. I'd like to know a little bit about why you want this money. I'd like to know if you're associated with a community. I'd like to know if that community has a history, and if that history is a good history and a positive history. And I'd like to know if that community matters to me. And it's not an entirely, for many lenders, it's not an entirely empirical decision. Part of it is, yes, the numbers look good, the returns look promising. However, there's a social component. Does this feel good? Do I trust this people? Does this smell right?
I wonder if some people are thinking, is this just another finance company trying to take advantage of our social connections and our openness just to make a buck? Are you running into any cynicism of that kind?
So, when we look at Prosper, and we look at many, I think, of the new web companies, and, kind of the web in general, I always think of it as a massive struggle between transparency, which we spoke about being sort of the holy grail, and privacy. And sometimes those two objectives clash with each other. I mean, clearly we do want to have openness, but you can't have openness to the point where it concerns people or violates their privacy. And again, we think the way around that is with opt-in, opt-out systems in place, so that any data people can remain anonymous if they want, but if they choose to be expressive, they can be as expressive as they want. And that's what we've tried to do on our listings. As you'll note, people can remain completely anonymous. They'll have a screen handle. We will have shown their credit grade and some other basic information about their credit. But other than that, lenders that bid on them will never know who they are. We'll never be involved in payments from them. We'll never be involved in collections from them, for example. So we think that's an important philosophy, and I think so far so good. I think the community at large, consumer groups that have looked at it, applaud what we're doing, and I think they think we've so far taken the right line on consumer advocacy. But that's something to always be paranoid about, something that we think about all the time, and that we remind our team about all the time, that there's a lot of power in information, and we need to guard that as if it was our own family's information.
John, Chris, thanks very much indeed.